Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code budget. That's monarch.com, promo code budget.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the press. Great to have you here for Players Week, first episode of two this week. We're going to do today. We're going to talk about all the normal stuff that we do on our first show of the week about the PGA Tour event, and then we will have an additional show, a second show for the week to talk mostly about the Players Championship. There's only one other tournament of note this week. That is LIV Golf Singapore. Spend a few minutes on that and maybe touch on a few things related to just kind of LIV Golf trends, if there's anything we can extrapolate from those first three tournaments on the schedule heading into the fourth, and that'll be their last one until they get ready for the Masters at Trump Doral. But today we are at Pontevedra Beach, Florida, and we are focusing on the Players' Championship. So let's get right into it. This is the crown jewel of the PGA Tour schedule. This is the biggest event that they have. This is their major. They don't control any of the four men's majors. They don't control any major championship, period. They don't control the Ryder Cup. The only thing they can control that's anything like a major is the Players. And I would say to you, it is not a major championship. And it probably is not going to be thought of as a major championship in the next 15, 20 years. However, I think it has carved out a really great place for itself as a major caliber tournament that just doesn't get that kind of inclusion into the conversation around the majors. Maybe someday it will. Things change. There used to be two amateur majors, right? There used to be the two opens and the two AMs, and that used to be the Grand Slam. Well, that's not the case anymore. So things can change. Things can expand. The LPGA has five majors. Champions Tour has five majors. It can all change. It's all fungible. So nevertheless, we have a great tournament here this week. We have 48 of the world top 50 in a 144-player field competing this week on the Player Stadium course at TPC Sawgrass in Pontevedra Beach, Florida. I've covered this tournament in person, four or five times, a number of times. It was the first tournament I ever actually covered in person. It was 2003. I was in college at the time. I applied for a credential for my then streaming radio show. iPods weren't even a thing yet. And the PGA Tour somehow said yes. I took my spring break from the University of Maryland, went down to Pontevedra Beach, Florida, somehow got a hotel room, somehow got to and from the course every day. I don't even know how I was able to rent a car, to be honest with you. I don't even really remember that part of it. But I did get there, and I was able to cover the tournament. That was the year Davis Love shot 64 in the final round to win. And that was in March, right? And then for about 11 years, I think it was 11 years, they played this thing in May from, 2008, 2007, 2018, so 12 years. Then they moved it back to May in 2019. Rory McIlroy won the first year. And then we'll go over some of the prior champions thereafter. But they have moved this event around a couple of different times between March and May. I like it better in March. I think the golf course is more interesting this time of year. The one year where Jason Day won, where it was so firm and fast, and Ken Duke shot probably the best round I've ever seen, that 65, that was an incredible accomplishment. But I like it better this time of year. So this golf course opened in 1982. It is the masterwork of Pete Dye, God rest his soul. I love this golf course for so many reasons, but the PGA Tour's mantra that this course favors nobody is very much a true statement. This golf course doesn't favor anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody either. Anybody can win, and anybody can thrive here. Also, anyone can make enormous numbers here. This is a golf course that demands every shot. There is a lot of visual intimidation off the tee. The rough is just penal enough to make you think about some things. Obviously, the water in play on a lot of holes is scary. The tight corridors and the tee shots can be vexing, right? Put those things together on a number of holes and you've got some magic. You've got the potential recipe for greatness and for an absolute disaster. And that's what makes this course fantastic. It probably is my favorite course on the PGA Tour, if not by far. And I'd like to get back there. I haven't been there in a number of years, but I love covering this tournament. This is a par 72 golf course. We should note that this golf course is 77 yards longer than last year. So 73-52 on the scorecard instead of, it was 72-55 last time around. And some interesting changes I noticed in looking at the scorecard for this week, comparing it to last year. A number of holes, they changed by like 1 yard, up or down. Like the first hole used to be, let's say 461, this year it's 460 or 462 or something like that. The 17th was 137 last year, where they brought it back to 141 this year. The ninth hole, which they did not lengthen, that was like 601 or something. Now it's 602. There's really random small changes. The bigger changes, though, were mostly on the three of the four par fives, right? So all the par fives but nine got lengthened 15 to 20 yards. I think that's most interesting on 16, which is the start of the gauntlet run, because the point of 16 was to be a reachable par five, but not an easy par five. And I'm not saying 16 is easy because there's water to the right, there's stuff to the left. It's a really tough second shot. But in terms of distance, every player in the field can get there. At 532, if you miss off the tee, particularly to the left, a layup is much more likely at 532 than it is at 517 or 515 or whatever it was before. So that one, as well as number two, got a little bit longer. Two's not an easy hole. That tee shot is claustrophobic as it gets. That is not an easy one. And then number 11, which is one of my favorite holes on the course, a little bit longer. They want to try to force the golfers to have to work the ball a little bit more on those longer holes. And then some lengthening, I believe that is number six, got a little bit longer. So not a ton of yardage, but just enough strategic yardage to make the par fives a little bit more difficult. Again, this is a $25 million purse, $4.5 million to the winner, 750 FedEx Cup points to the winner. So like all the other major championships, 750 FedEx Cup points, which I think is kind of interesting that they try to put the signature events up there at 700 points, and then you have 750 for the majors. It really probably should be a little bit more stratified for the majors, but hey, here we are. It's their tour. They do what they want. Let's take a look at the top of the table. Let's look at the betting odds for this week. Again, I don't have all the betting odds up here. I don't have all 144. We've got 22 on this page, and then later on in the show, we'll talk about a few more. Scottie Scheffler, 11-2. Rory McIlroy, 10-1. Colin Morikawa, 16-1. Just got pipped at Bay Hill, thanks to that chip-in eagle on the 16th hole from Russell Henley. I like him quite a bit here this week at 16-1. I would like him a little bit more closer to 20 if you could find it, but you're not. Ludwig Ober had a bad Saturday at Bay Hill, recalibrated, played better on Sunday. Justin Thomas, past winner here, seems to be kind of finding that form. It would be interesting for a guy like JT to be a two-time Players Champion and a two-time major champion. He seems to be that kind of guy who has that weird resume where you're like, oh, he was really good, but he didn't win enough majors, but he won two players. Just weird back and forth. Tommy Fleetwood and Xander Schauffele are 28-1. I love Fleetwood at this tournament, and I love Xander Schauffele in general. I find it hard to bet on either for various reasons. Hideki Matsuyama, I'm definitely going to wager 30-1. I like his chances here. He's been in the top six the last 2 years. He was the 2020 champion here. For as much as they had a tournament, right? He shot 63 in the first round, and then they canceled everything because of COVID. But he is technically the 2020 champion, the unrecognized 2020 champion, but playing great golf. Had an okay Bay Hill. Not great, not bad, but Sunday was encouraging. Cantlay, 35. Shane Lowry, 35. A buddy that I text with, Chris Cleveland, we text back and forth about all kinds of betting stuff. But I told him I was going to bet him at 35, and he laughed. He said, you were just trying to get this guy a win. And I may or not bet Shane Lowry in the end. I like him on tough golf courses, though. I like him in big tournaments. I've got a future on him already for the U.S. Open. We'll see if we get down on him here this week. Sepp Straka, I will wager 45-1. I'd like to find him a little bit higher of a price. This is an offshore books pricing. I'd like it closer to 60. Corey Connors has a good record here at 55-1. Good week last week at Bay Hill. What, 15 pars in a row to start on Sunday? It's kind of hard to win when you don't make birdies on a course where you got to make at least a couple. So I do like his chance of striking it well. Keegan Bradley, I love, playing great. A lot of people are on Wyndham Clark this week. My worry with him, I like what he offers, but my worry about him is erratic driving. He doesn't really have a lot of room to work a power fade here. It doesn't work that way. There aren't enough holes where it's in his favor to do that. So he really has to get out of his comfort zone to play great golf. That's why I'm going to stay away. Daniel Berger, 60-1. I've already got a future on him. I will probably bet him again. I love his chances here this week. Siwoo Kim, Jordan Spieth, 60-1. Jason Day, 65-1 is worth a look, I think. He passed champion here. Reunited with Colin Swatton back as his caddy. Seems to be pretty comfortable. fell by the wayside on Sunday at Bay Hill. That kind of thing happens, but playing pretty good golf. Sam Burns, Sungjae 60-1, Aaron Rye 70-1. Now let's get into the model for the week. I don't think this is all that different than last week. A couple guys changed some places, and I think Russell Henley got into the top 10, but your top three are the same. Scheffler, Schauffele, McIlroy. Hideki is fourth. Ludwig fifth. I think Ludwig was third or fourth last week. Didn't have his best week, lost a little bit. Colin Morikawa sixth. Tommy Fleetwood seventh. Shane Lowry eighth. Russell Henley ninth. Now he is in the top 10 of the world for the first time ever in his career. 36 years old. Congratulations. And Patrick Cantlay is 10th. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would pick Cantlay this week. I think you could see every other guy pretty well reasonably bet. I think it's hard to bet Henley to go back-to-back, even though Scotty did this last year, went back-to-back. I don't think Russell Henley is Scotty Scheffler. No offense to Russell Henley, but there's a reason he's basically the same price as last week after a win. He's facing an uphill climb here. Let's talk about some horses for courses. Before I get to that, one thing I do want to point out, I don't have a slide for it, and I think it's interesting, or graphic for it, and I think it's interesting. If you look at this tournament since going back to March in 2019, and you look at the players who've won, and you look at their odds. So you've got McIlroy, COVID / Hideki, although I don't remember the odds for him. JT, Cam Smith, and Scotty Scheffler twice. If you look at the winning odds for those players pre-tournament, the longest shot is Cam Smith at 30-1. Otherwise, everybody was sub 20-1, I think sub 15-1. Last year, obviously, Scotty Scheffler was 11-2, same odds as this year. And that's plenty of reason not to bet Scheffler because you got 5.5-1 odds last time, and he's not quite the same guy yet this time. And then you look at him the year before, I think he was 10-1, 11-1. McIlroy's been 10-1, 9-1 when he won. I think JT was more like 15-1. So what I'm trying to tell you is that in the not too long history of moving back to March, the winners have been players you expected. They have not been long shots. If you look before that, look in May, and certainly in the prior March history, you got a lot of guys that were shock winners. I don't know if that tells you that we're due for one or that we're due for a very chalky week. You can decide whether you care about that kind of pattern. What I'm trying to say is this course does a good job, apparently, of identifying chalky players in the last handful of years. Keep that in mind this week. Also keep in mind that we've got plenty of rain on the ground. There was plenty of rain yesterday in Ponte Vedra Beach. It's going to soften the golf course. It's going to allow them to grow the rough a little bit, and they're going to cut it. They're going to probably play it at a reasonable length. They're not going to go anything kind of crazy here, although I do think that there is some interest from the tour in trying to scale back scoring. 20-under-1 last year, I don't think they want that. I don't think they want 20, 18-under winning as Scotty's done the last couple of years. I think they want something more like 14-under. And if they're going to do that, they're going to keep the rough out a little bit, grow it a little bit, make it firm and fast as best they can with the weather they've had to contend with. So keep all that in mind. Horses for courses, I mentioned before, there aren't a lot of them. This course is really for flushers. And even the best players have struggled here. And sometimes for a long time. McIlroy struggled for a long time here. Jordan Spieth did great in his first appearance and basically hasn't done anything since. Justin Thomas took him a long time to figure it out, and a very fortunate bounce on the 72nd hole to save it for him to win. Scotty Scheffler figured it out right away because he understands the value of bogey avoidance compared to every other player in the field. And that's what Pete Dye really did masterfully as an architect. He made you think about bogey avoidance, made you think about when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive, and penalized you when you made the wrong choices. Scotty Scheffler does that better than anybody in the modern era, which is why he's won here twice. It's why he's a horse for course. McIlroy's kind of figured it out here. He's figured out where to bang the driver, where to kind of lay off a little bit. Hideki Matsuyama shot a 63 here that no one recognizes from 2020. He's been in the top six here the last 2 years. Corey Connors, flusher. Colin Morikawa's not on the list. I put him in there as well. He doesn't have quite the same result set, but Corey Connors is a flusher, right? Not a great putter, but a flusher. Shane Lowry plays tough course as well. This is a tough course. He has good finishes here. Not as good as Matsuyama, not as good as Connors, but they are good finishes. You don't really have a whole lot of other guys in this field that meet that criteria. Maybe Brian Harman, who was a runner up here last year, has some good work in this tournament. Tyrrell Hatton used to have good work in this tournament, would have been a guy I like. Tommy Fleetwood does have a pretty good course record here, although it goes and extends a little bit further back than the five-year period that I tend to look. And yeah, I mean, that also kind of flies in the face of what we talked about at the top, right? There aren't horses for courses because this course demands your best every time. And so if you're great every time, you're going to do well. You're not going to find a way to be like, oh, I just love 13 of the 18 holes here, so I can just kind of scoop my way around because I like the way it looks. That doesn't fly here. It doesn't work here. And you've got to play your best game. You either have it or you don't at this golf course. We mentioned the past champions just a couple of minutes ago. And this is a critical thing to look at this week, right? To a degree. The degree is, look who these people are. Multiple major winners. Well, at least major winners, right? Cam Smith's got one. Hideki's got one. They're all major champions. And they've done it on the biggest stages. So it's not surprising then that you would expect, I just can't wager Scheffler for a three-peat, but Rory to win, Ludwig to win. You expect him to get a major at some point. Morikawa to win, multiple major winner. I would tend to lean toward the better pedigree here. I know I have some wagers in the 60 range because that's fun for me. That's what I want. If it happens, cool. Eventually, it doesn't have to work this way forever. So you got to have some guys in case that happens. But look at the quality of winners all the way down the line of the last 6 years. And you're going to realize, hey, wait, we've got something here that's pretty evidence-based that we're going to get a quality winner. Let's take a look at some more betting odds based on all of that information. We've got Matt McNealy at 70-1, which I like quite a bit. I like his game, obviously. I've been expecting him to play well for a long time, and that has finally arrived. I think he does have the kind of game that could work well here. If you want to try to draw something between RSM and here, I don't think that's totally misplaced. I like Tony Finau quite a bit. He obviously rates out very well. My pick probably in this group on the left side of the column would be Minwoo Lee. He's been playing really good golf, albeit in somewhat limited fashion. I think he's enjoyed the TGL stuff. I think that has kind of helped him maybe get just a little bit more acclimated to playing this kind of level of golf, this brand of golf, PGA Tour golf. I think that has been helpful for him. Michael Kim at 85-1 has been playing world-class golf. I mean, top 25 level world-class golf, according to the folks at Data Golf, who do a very good job of keeping that week-to-week record for everybody. I'm not necessarily going to pick him here. I'd like to see it closer to 100 or 110 before I got into that range. And if you can shop and find it, go get him. But I would love him in his next start, whatever that is. I hope it's Valspar because I think it suits him. But he's playing great golf and he deserves that recognition. Denny McCarthy's been playing some sneaky good golf lately, had a sneaky good finish at Bay Hill. Again, the driving is so wayward. Same problem with Wyndham Clark. Under pressure, what does that look like? That's why I tend to stay away from him here. Then you look on the other side of the coin. Now we're getting into the hundreds. Guys like Ben Griffin are getting picked up. Brian Harman's probably going to get picked up just based on course history. We've talked about that before, runner-up here. And it just seems like the golf course. He likes the challenge of the golf course because it equalizes things for him as someone who just does not hit the ball all that far. Sahith Theegala at 100-1 is mildly interesting. So is Taylor Pendrith. The rough being closer to 4 inches this year, I think, makes someone like Taylor Pendrith more interesting if he can hit the ball out there and just kind of keep it in play. There's going to be a lot of penalty for missing here, especially with the rough plus the water in play all over the place. I think he could be an interesting play. Kitayama, 110-1. If you want to try to make that leap to his win at Bay Hill, again, deep rough. We're going to have probably fairly soft greens. I mean, they did have that rain on Sunday, but that will start to dry out over the course of the week. But he could be an interesting play too. Matt Fitzpatrick, I think a lot of people tried to will him back into a good position last week, and I just can't get on there. Let's go to another set of guys in that 125 range and above. Ben Ahn's really interesting to me. He has won the other tour, the DP World Tour's crown jewel. He won the BMW PGA Championship. That was so long ago. Again, not winning on American soil in the PGA Tour, at least, is troubling, right? It's hard to bet that. That might be an interesting, you know, top 10, top 20 bet. Max Grazerman always rates out well for me. I think he's an interesting play at 125-1. Given what I've said about the chalkiness, I'm probably not going to go much past 75, 90 to 1, somewhere in that range, if I could convince myself of a golfer there. But of these players who are kind of in this longer shot range, I mean, Billy Horschel's always interesting. It's a home game for him. He loves the golf course. Cam Young, I think people are, again, kind of like Matt Fitzpatrick, trying to will him back to relevance. This is an indicator of bad, not good. Nick Taylor interests me quite a bit at 150 to 1. Probably will not play it, but he does interest me in this price range because he is so erratic and can win out of nowhere. But when he gets close, he's a closer. It didn't work out with Harris English last week at an 80 to 1 number. I don't think it's going to work out a whole lot better at 165 to 1 number this week. So I will stay away from that. Laurie Cantor might be an interesting, deeper top 10, top 20 play. He is a top 50 golfer in the world. He has played tremendously well since leaving LIV. Multi-time winner on the DP World Tour. Gets in this week because of his status in the OWGR. I really like his game. I think he brings a lot to the table. It may be worth a 10 or a 20. Again, inexperience gets punished here a whole lot. And the folks of the tour do a good job of saying, like, oh, well, if you're a first timer, you get your own news conference, all that stuff. Yeah, it's probably because you missed the cut, because experience plays very heavily here. And you can see it in all the data. So maybe a 10 or a 20, that's probably about the best result you could expect for someone like Laurie Cantor. And then just a couple of long shots I wanted to bring up because they're interesting. Max Homa, I saw 175 to 1 when I copied this. I saw him at DraftKings at 200 to 1. So the fall continues. It's not very good. Worried about where he is mentally, physically. I mean, it just has not been good for the last year and change. And that's a concern. I do find some interest, even with everything I just said, in Kevin Roy, who's played pretty darn well so far, and Carl Phillips, who just won on the Corn, or not the Corn Ferry Tour, coming off the Corn Ferry Tour at the Puerto Rico Open. I love Phillips' game. We've talked about it on the show. We'll keep talking about it. He's obviously pretty deep this week because this is his first attempt at the Players, just coming off of a win. You're probably tired off of that. We still aren't, I don't know entirely where he is with his health, but obviously he's improved enough to win on the PGA Tour. And again, you're against much stiffer competition you were last week. That all said, Carl Phillips is a machine, and he's going to be a tremendous player for years to come. So maybe you want a 10 or a 20 bet on him if you are so compelled to look at that this week. And then one guy I did not put up on here, if you want to have, I mean, and there are lots of guys in this field that are 500 or deeper. The one guy I would be remotely interested in to win in the shock of all shocks, or a fun little each way bet, would be Hayden Springer. And I say Hayden Springer just because he has good experience on this property. Not on this golf course necessarily, but on this property. He's got through Q School twice at the Dyes Valley. They're not the same course, but they are very similar. Obviously, same architect, same ideas at play. Maybe not quite as well-maintained, although it's fabulous. And maybe not quite as difficult, but still hard. But Hayden Springer seems to have a thing for Pete Dye golf courses. And at 650 to 1, on a win bet, and obviously a pretty solid top 10 or top 20 payout, that could interest me just for fun. I mean, it'll be over real quick if he double bogeys the first couple holes or something like that. But I do think he has something strange to offer here, given the way he's gotten through Q School. So it might be worth that kind of wager. That's going to do it for us on this first show of the week. We'll be back with a second episode. We'll talk through some props around the tournament, particularly around 17. We'll talk about some player matchups, some stuff like that, just to give you a well-rounded out look at the Players Championship, and then we'll talk for a few minutes about the LIV Golf Singapore event, which is the other tournament of the week. If you are interested, give me a follow on social media. I'm at Ryan Ballinger on pretty much every service. You also can be a member of golfnewsnet.com for $40 for a year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years. Over at golfnewsnet.com, get access to all of our tools, all of the projections in our model, everything that we do, including our LPGA stuff this year. It's been really, really good. So been excited about that. And then you can follow the show, whether that's on Golf News Net TV, which is now available on Zeem, our Roku app, as well as Free Life Sports and Freecast. And you can also catch us on our YouTube channels, whether you want to watch the video version like this over at Golf News Net, or you can follow Golf News Net Radio for just audio-only versions of this show and all of our radio shows. That way you can just kind of listen on the go and you don't have to watch it. And then you can also check us out at golfnewsnet.com for all your information that you need. about this week's tournament and every week's tournament on the PGA Tour and elsewhere. I'm Ryan Balogie. Thank you for watching or listening, and we will catch you on the next one here on The Press.